The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:43 PM. First up, acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on December 20, 2021.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We have one item on the agenda. PCR 156-21, a resolution authorizing amendment of a lease between the City of Warwick and AAA Northeast for municipal office space. This is sponsored by Council President McAllister on behalf of Mayor Picozzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before us this evening is amendment to the lease agreement that we did about a year and a half ago. We have the administration here to give the details to members of the public. We have Dan from the Planning Department, and I believe we have some other people as well. So I yield the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The issue for consideration before the council is an amendment to the lease by and between the City of Warwick and AAA Northeast. The lease was generally negotiated in late 2020 and executed on May 24th, 2021. Provisions in the executed lease include an allowance of approximately $2.5 million for design, build-out, and tenant improvements. As of lease execution, McGeorge Architecture has worked closely with Mayor Picozzi, City Department directors, and staff to design the interior fit-out, account for offices, furnishings, wiring, alarming, and the like. The project is now ready to move to construction. Current pricing for the city portion of the project is showing a deficit of $800,000, which is a subject request before the council this evening, authorizing a lease amendment to modify the terms to include a secondary build-out allowance of up to $800,000 to be reimbursed to the landlord over the first 10 years of the lease at a rate of 4.5% interest annually. The cost deficit and need for the request is undeniably due to the unprecedented volatility in construction materials and labor pricing. Here with me this evening to speak to the lease amendments and the project cost is Mr. Matthew McGeorge of McGeorge Architects and Mr. Stephen Manti, Executive Vice President of AAA Northeast and Landlord.
Thank you. The lease amendment is for 10 years. As Dan indicated, financed at a 4.5% interest rate. We'd be happy to work with the city to include that in the lease. I would say that AAA itself is experiencing very similar significant cost increases at the project due to these unprecedented times where the cost for materials, labor, the timing of it all has just been disrupted significantly. So it's a function of not only this project for us and many other projects that we're working on. So it's not uncommon in today's, unfortunately, situation. Be happy to answer any questions at any point.
And just briefly, so I'm Matthew McGeorge. I've been practicing for 25 years, and
if you could speak more directly into the microphone so that viewers from home can pick it up. Thank you.
So my name is Matthew McGeorge. I'm the architect of record for the project. I've been practicing for 25 years, and I've never seen anything like the current market volatility and price increases that we've seen over the last 24 months. It seems to be almost 30% on 30% over the past 24 months. So guesstimating before entering into a full-blown construction drawing package that's biddable is almost impossible at the moment. The supply chain issues are, you know, catastrophic, as you guys are all aware. And without getting into minutiae, just basically it's a 30%, 40% increase of what we would see on any typical core and shell office building, tenant improvement, site development package, as complicated as this one. So this isn't, it's just a by virtue of the market conditions over the past 2 years.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Foley.
Are there delays? I know there's a cost. Are there also delays? The completion of the project, what are you seeing as a target date?
So currently, based on the office project, which is a little bit more simple than the core and shell project, the schedule, and I don't know, if the contract is signed and permits are already pulled, I believe, and the construction, if the construction contracted were executed, what was the final time frame? Because that's a floating deadline until it's executed. So, but it's.
I'd answer it this way here, if I could. With the approval of the council, we would sign the construction agreements, then commence construction immediately. Therefore, we would anticipate sometime late spring, early summer to be able to have the work all completed for the city to move in.
There's a follow-up question. So we approve this tonight, and do you anticipate any problem in getting the materials that you're looking for?
We're experiencing those delays right now. For example, the AAA office will move in there at the end of January. We anticipate having temporary power and temporary heat, and we're having issues with just taking some basic materials like doors coming in. So there could be delays because of supply chain issues, just like we're experiencing today.
Thank you.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, gentlemen, for presenting tonight. So in terms of some of these costs that you've discussed, were there any other mitigating options on the table in terms of decreasing scope or changing scope or anything like that?
We definitely investigated many value engineering opportunities. The design for the office component, the Warwick City office, is really walls and doors and basic HVAC systems. So there's not a lot of fluff, if you will, in the design of the project. All of those decisions were intensively scrutinized by the general contractor, the ownership, the City of Warwick representatives, and the planning department. And ultimately, the final ask came more internally. So there was a menu of items to choose from.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And then in terms of the financing aspect of it, the 10-year plan at the interest rate negotiated, what's the genesis of that? Were there other options on the table? Just to help us understand how that played out.
Well, because we did provide financing for the $1.8 million, $1.9 million in the original lease agreement at no interest charge, and because our costs are way running over what we originally planned for at the site itself, so we felt that that was reasonable and fair and with the current market conditions.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'll hold there for now, Chairman. I may have one more question up.
Thank you. I do have a couple of questions. I would like to hear from members of the administration as to this. First, as a legal matter, I would like to hear from members of the administration as to whether the city is continuing to receive a fair benefit of the bargain as to the amendments to the original contract. And along the same lines, if the amendments to the contract in the administration's view are commercially reasonable.
I mean, I know that the city solicitor has reviewed the contract changes. And obviously, I was involved in the finance department in terms of how we were going to accommodate this in the budget going forward. And there's no question that next year we will have an additional $100,000 a year in costs. I don't think anything will kick in this year, or if it will, it would be just be a month or 2 months at the most. And I gave you a projection in October as to what the end of the year balance would be. You'll have a projection, which I can tell you was positive on what's going on this year, at your for a review by executive communication at your next council meeting. I can't speak to the legal issues of all I can say is the city solicitor has signed off on them. I can speak to you that I'm comfortable with the financial package, both in terms of what we saw and costs in analyzing them and how we're going to finance them going forward. We're comfortable with that. And by the way, we did consider some other options. Theoretically, we could use ARPA money, but that would be, that money is only available through December 31st, 2024. This is a longer term commitment. So there was also the possibility of financing all the furnishings through lease purchase, as we did with the fire engines and police cars and sanitation trucks last year. But I don't think the city is well equipped to buy a lot of furniture. Our purchasing procedures, it just wasn't the right way to go. So when we added all the different options up, this seemed to be the right way to go.
One follow-up option. It's from my previous observations and general knowledge. I don't claim to be a finance expert. 4.5% interest rate seems, relatively speaking, steep for what the city normally pays for interest. Under the amendments and under the agreement, would the city have the option of paying that money more quickly in order to avoid some of that interest over time? If, of course, in the view of the administration, if it would make sense to do so.
Well, what you have before you is a lease agreement that has the 4.5% built in. You know, I didn't think we don't really have the authority. I assume if we just gave AAA $800,000, I assume that would have taken care of, but I don't really have the authority to do that. There's really no method in the Appropriations Act for us to pledge $800,000 in this budget. I suppose that's something we could have brought to you independently, but we just felt this was the most prudent way to execute this immediately so that they can continue on with the work that's ongoing.
Thank you. I'll open up it up to the full council for questions. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I've got actually quite a bit to add to this. But my first question is, when the lease was originally signed, were those numbers locked in stone in that signing of that lease?
Councilman, my understanding is that that was an allowance that was negotiated and approved by the City Council. So the construction numbers hadn't been generated yet. There were estimates of what would be needed to spend. Between then and now, the architect has done his job and come up with the floor plan, the doorways, all the materials, the wiring, the alarming, et cetera, which then has enabled the cost estimate to be updated at today's rates.
Thank you for that, Dan. That was pretty much my recall on it as well. Having said that, if this council were to approve the up to $800,000, are we now locked in hard and fast into a number that will not have you returning to us for an additional increase?
Councilman, I spoke to the contractor this afternoon, and he indicated that if, once we have approval, we'll be able to execute the contract at these amounts.
So, again, I just want to make sure what we're saying is once the contract, this revised contract with this amendment is signed by the parties, the number will not increase and you will not be coming back to the council for any additional fundings.
The way the contract is, the lease agreement is written, Counselor, is that this, the AAA will provide an allowance to the city for the work that's being done. And then that will be paid back to AAA. In the event that their costs exceed the contracted amounts, for whatever reason, the city would then be responsible. However, I believe, based upon the estimates that we have, that we do not anticipate additional costs. However, it also is important to understand in these times, there could be labor delays, there could be labor shortages that have an impact. We don't anticipate anything of that nature at this time, but I can't unequivocally say that this will be the case. I believe that we'll be in good shape. And I think working with the city that we're in with the architect, we believe there could even be modifications in the event that we have overruns in certain areas to mitigate that impact, if at all.
So, sorry, just to add to that as well. So when we use the word sort of estimate in our context early on, that's based on very high level industry type models, not a written estimate per se, like a bid, right? So the bid is now what we have in hand from all of the trade subcontractors itemizing every single piece of scope of work at this point. Those numbers, again, and people are only holding their bids for 3-4 weeks at a time because they don't know what's going to happen in the market. So the sooner it gets approved, the sooner those numbers get locked in. Now, based on my experience and working with this team and this construction management company, when we say we believe it's enough, we really, really believe it's enough. And I believe that the planning board has a little bit in there as well to help mitigate, you know, a little bit here and there. There's no reason to think without some force majeure that we would be in trouble with the budget as presented.
And well, Councilman, pardon my interruption, pursuant to the council rules, it is now 7 o'clock and it is our custom to pause the committee meetings at this point. I don't mean to curtail this discussion, but we certainly can resume it after the opening of the full council meeting and a return to this committee. Thank you. If we can have a vote of the committee to suspend the committee meetings until such time as we may return after the opening of the full city council meeting.
Motion to recess.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone. We have a special guest that's going to lead us in the pledge in a minute here, and it's a school night, so I want to have the meeting, and then we will do general communications, and then we'll come right back into the committee. So that committee will probably take place in about 5-10 minutes tops. Good evening, everyone. I call the January 3rd, 2022 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Snappy. Ms. Travis.
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to call on Councilman Foley to introduce our special guests this evening that are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilman Foley.
And the pledge tonight will be Emily Foley, my seven-year-old granddaughter. She is accompanied by her little sister, Claire, and her mother and father, my son Michael Foley and his wife Ashley. Michael is a lieutenant on the Providence Fire Department, and Ashley works at URI.
I pledge allegiance to the flag in the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Thank you very much. An outstanding job this evening, and we're so happy that you were able to join us this evening. And Lieutenant Foley, thank you very much for your service. The second best fire department in the state, so in Providence there. So thank you very much. Happy New Year, guys. Thank you. At this time, we're on to executive communications. There are none. Under general communications, I just have one. We are, again, in another COVID spike. City Hall and city employees have been hit very hard. So I just wish all the city employees health and happiness in the new year. And I thank our residents for their patience and support. A lot of departments are working with many men and women that are out because of this, and people are working extra hard to provide great services. So I just want to thank our city employees, and again, I wish health and happiness in this new year to all Warwick residents. General Communications, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to make a request that we hold a moment of silence for a man who dedicated 36 years of service to the city with the Warwick Fire Department. And if you don't mind, Mr. President, if I may take just a moment and find, I have his biography saved, so I could give a brief description of Commander Baboa's history. I want to be accurate, as he deserves the courtesy of that. Mr. President, Commander Balboa took the oath of office in December of 1982, spending his first 7 years as a patrol division. At this time, he was elevated to the position of detective. Serving at the detective division for a year, he was promoted to sergeant, supervising in the patrol and administrative services division. In 1995, he was promoted to lieutenant, working in the patrol and community services division. He was promoted to captain in 1998, where he served as the officer in charge of 3rd, 2nd, and 1st platoons, patrol division, and lastly, detective division. In 2009, he was promoted to the rank of major, where he served as a year in the operations bureau commander before being promoted to commander. Commander Balboa passed away this past Saturday after retiring in 2018. The city, obviously, many of us, and I understand, I do realize that Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, and you and I had a brief opportunity to work with him and to see what a calm, even flow demeanor he had. I also understand that our Sergeant at Arms, Officer Wells, also had a relationship and a knowledge of Commander Balboa. Mr. President, I will reserve if comments wish to be made by other colleagues, especially our experienced colleagues, but I'm going to respectfully request a moment of silence for Commander Balboa.
Thank you very much. We'll have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Anybody else would like to? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Chairman Howell, for those very kind words. I had the pleasure of being a friend of Commander Balboa for well over 30 years. Knew him very well, knew his wife, Jeannie, very well. Just an outstanding individual. He had come to before the council for a good period of time when I was chairman of the finance committee, as well as my years on the council, always respectful. He was an individual that you could disagree with, and when you were done, you shake hands and you move on to the next issue. Just an outstanding individual who devoted his life to the service of the city. It's just so unfortunate, particularly given these times, that someone looks forward to retirement for so long and works towards that goal that 3 years later, they're gone. Very sad for the commander, very sad for his wife and all his family. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I also agree with the Councilman Lattiser, and Councilman Howell. The commander was a wonderful person, he'll be sadly missed. And he was a very special person. I also had a moment of silence for someone in Ward 6, I would hope that I could do. And it's for Richard Perillo, a longtime resident of Ward 6. He raised 3 wonderful children. And if you were at the wake last night and seen the lines, it showed the impact he had on our community. He was a wonderful person, and we lost him on December 29th.
Thank you very much, Councilwoman. We'll have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Anything else, members of the council, anything under general communications? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Council President. I want to make sure to express at this time that several constituents have contacted me in relation to this meeting continuing to be held in person. It's my understanding that under the current executive orders and current state of the law that we are required to meet in person. And I do hope that in the near future, we will have more opportunities for the public to participate remotely. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Anything else under general communications for members of the council? Okay, hearing none, I would just like to do one thing. Acceptance of the minutes for the council meeting held on December 20th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The minutes have been accepted. At this time, I ask that we go back into the Public Properties Committee and finish our work there. Thank you, everyone.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs reconvenes at 7:15 p.m. I believe that Councilman Lattiser had the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to go back to where we were, the discussion was about assuming that we approve this $800,000 increase in the estimated costs that we had, I believe it was back in May, I think, of 21, would the numbers be fixed? I understand about construction. I'm in the construction business. I understand about the runaway costs, and they have. It's been torture to try and deal with it. I've got a list right here, a stack of price increases I brought along with me this evening that I've received from vendors. It has gotten so bad in the past year that we not only get a notice of a price increase, in the same notice of a price increase is another notice of a price increase. So an example is, in November 1st, we took a percentage increase, 8%, on a product that we supply, with a backup of another 8 to 10% projected in January. In this stack of increases that I have is a proposed increase. Actually, it's a notice of an increase from one of the largest suppliers in the country of aluminum products. Anything aluminum, from screws to nails to trim coil to gutters to wall systems to roofing systems, anything with aluminum. A 35% price increase January 3rd. That's today. It is virtually impossible to try and forecast what we're going to be paying for materials. Not only is the pricing a significant issue, the availability of the product is a major issue. I've seen 24 weeks of wait for a door. For a door, 24 weeks. Tempered glass. They don't even give you a projection. You'll get it when it arrives. That's for tempered glass. This is not going to get any better, not anytime soon. Now, we're not building the Empire State Building here either. This is a relatively controlled project, or at least with the hands-on ability of the contractors, the engineers, the purchasing people, you should be able to control what you need. Back in July, I started ordering materials or putting a hold on materials immediately as the jobs were sold for two reasons. Hold my price, ensure availability. Even with building permits, the day we sold the job, we pulled the building permit because we were concerned with the building departments throughout the state shutting down because of COVID. We couldn't get a permit. And if I can't get a permit, my people can't work. If my people don't work, they don't eat. So this isn't just a simple swipe of the wand that says, okay, this is what we got to do. My recommendation to someone who's been in this industry for 22 years, I'm sure you'll agree that if this council approves this additional funds, that someone is on the horn tomorrow, if you haven't already done so, and put a hold on all those materials. You know what you need in that building. You don't need us to tell you. You know what you need. You know what you need from the sheetrock to the screws to the joint compound to the tape to the carpeting, to the flooring. You know exactly what you need. It's all, you got your materials list, you got your scope of work, you know exactly what you need. So I am sympathetic with the situations that you're dealing with because I live them every day. There's been at least one instance when we put a hold on materials and you would assume that you had a hold on the price as well. Well, what we got several weeks ago was, oh, by the way, anything that is not delivered by this day, never mind ordered, delivered by this day, is going to take this hit. The difference is I can't go to my clients who I've already got a signed contract with and say, hey, Mrs. Jones, guess what? I got to raise the price of this job by 10 grand. I knew those things were happening, and it was my responsibility to deal with it. Then it was my responsibility to deal with it if I didn't have the correct actions taking place. And this is where I'm going with you, sir, as the contractor. I'm not speaking for this city council. I'm speaking for Ed Lattiser, Councilman Ward 5. If we approve this $800,000, I am going to expect you to use your 22 years of business experience, your knowledge of what is taking place in this industry, probably the most volatile industry that we have in this country right now, using your expertise and your experience to make sure that we don't have to see you back here again. The cost increases are not...
Sorry, just to interject for a second, I'm actually not the general contractor, the construction manager, I'm the architect of record, so I have no personal control.
Oh, I thought you were the contractor. Sorry. No. Who's the contractor?
Case Construction is the general contractor.
Where is the contractor? Is he here?
He couldn't make it this evening. I think he's having some COVID issues with his family, but but all those contracts are lined up waiting for this approval. Okay. So.
And you as the architect then with the 22 years of experience, speak to the contractor, speak to you, one and the same. You're the architect. Right?
Yeah, we'll do everything in our power, absolutely.
Okay. So the other point that I would like to make is we had numbers earlier about what the cost would be to renovate that annex building over there. And those numbers were substantial, if you remember. In 2018, the projections were 8 to 12 million. In 2021, it grew to 11 to 16 million. And you can add another 30% onto that. And I think that's a very modest increase. To renovate the building, we've got numbers of up to 30 million, 22, 26, 30 million to build a new building that would house our organization. As a reminder, we need a general obligation bond to do that. And I'm speaking for experience in kicking the can down the road on these things. You'll all remember the sewers. General obligation bond has to go before the voters. And then it's going to take another 2 to 3 years to get a new building put up. Your costs are going to be much greater than 800 grand. Much greater. The interest on a $24 million loan at 3% over 20 years. The monthly payments will be $133,103.42. The interest is $33,103 a month on a new construction loan. Over 20 years, a total of $8 million. $8 million just in interest. There is the other perks, I will call them, that AAA has put into this. I believe the city is going to reap some savings on the solar that eventually will be put onto this building that is going to be used, or 88% of it, I believe, was the number we were told, that is going to come to the city. We'll have all of our people in one place. We will be able to sell the school, I forget the name of it, where some of our staff is right now. We'll be able to sell that and turn that into revenue. We'll be able to do what the city needs to do with the Buttonwoods building. We'll have a far more productive workforce. And I mean that in a complimentary way. I don't mean that in being negative. Our staff from throughout the city, municipal workers, police, fire, teachers, everyone has been doing a great job dealing with the stuff that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. This COVID stress that we're dealing with again, it just keeps coming back at us. They're going to be in a building that is going to be state-of-the-art. From a business perspective, as I see it, I'm not thrilled that we have to come up with another $800,000, but I think we need to come up with it. I remember when we were doing the tower of this building, that was a significant project. And I received a call one day from a member of the administration and said, "Ed, I need you to come to the top of the tower. Are you afraid of heights?" I said, "You're crazy. You know the business I'm in." He said, "It doesn't mean you're not afraid of heights." I went to the top of the tower, and he showed me what there was no way they would know. It was an unforeseen $275,000 worth of unforeseen. My initial reaction was, you know what? You got to live with what you got. But when I got up there and I saw what we had, and I learned that it would cost us $100,000 to take the staging down, another $100,000 to put it back up again, and we haven't fixed squat. You got to fix it while you're there. Back in April, March, February, when you folks were all talking with the administration, no one had a crystal ball. You heard me talk about crystal ball earlier. No one had a crystal ball. We had no idea that the construction industry was going to be hit to the degree that it is. So am I happy about having to cough up another $800,000? No, of course not. But I think in the long run and in the big picture, it's the best deal. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion, members of the council? Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This brings a bad taste to me. No one on this council was here, but when I had an incident like this, we were putting a roof on a property, and we went with the lowest qualified bidder, just like we always do. Well, not once, not twice, but three times they came back with an unforeseen problem, which turned out to be the bid was higher than the highest bidder. And what did I get? A crooked roof. And then one of the council people had the nerve to say to me, it's got character. I didn't pay for character. We wanted a roof that didn't leak, which eventually did leak. The problem is, you say 800,000, I'm praying that that's the number, because I lived through that and that was horrible. We want the things to be done right, and if it needs the 800,000, fine. I just hope we don't have to come back with another number. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment, members of the council? Any comment, members of the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 This concludes the City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs at 7:32 p.m.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And thank you to the administration and the architect and Dan for coming this evening. And I know he had to move some things around childcare-wise, so we really appreciate it, and we thank you. We're going to reconvene the full council meeting in 2 minutes.